Sending greetings of love to you this morning in the sweet name of the Lord Jesus. And, this may be as good a time as any to say how much we have enjoyed, what a blessing it has been to us to have been with you this week. And we thank you for the ways that you have loved us this week and sharing with us, spending time with us, feeding us, just all the ways that you've done that. And thank you. And God bless you for that. Open your Bibles with me, if you will, this morning to the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew chapter 20. Now, we are not planning this morning necessarily to give a history lesson. We're going to kind of break out of that. We'll plan, Lord willing, tonight to finish this little series as the Lord gives us ability and grace to do that. But we do want to look. You know, if you remember back this week, when we first began this little series of history, we looked at some of our potential views of history, how we look at history, if it's the study of facts, ideas, or events and stories. And you know, as we have been together this week, our heart has been, our focus has been not really to teach history, but to teach ideas and the results of those ideas. And you know, as you study the life of Jesus, Jesus taught with stories. Jesus told stories. That's how he communicated truth to people, was by telling stories. And we want to look at a story that Jesus told this morning. Now, the stories of Jesus, we give a certain little phrase to, a word. We call them a parable. Those are stories. Now, the Bible tells us in Matthew 13 that there was a particular, that Jesus taught in this particular way, and there was a particular purpose for his teaching in parables. Now, the word parable itself is a combination of two Greek words, para and bole. And that means bole means to throw, and para means down beside, to compare. And so, a parable, as we would say, is taking one idea, one thing, one truth, and throwing it down alongside something else. And as you lay those two things down side by side in a comparative way, you're able there to see similarities. You're able there to see things that in them that you wouldn't have been able to see or understand before. Now the Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 13, verse 34, the Bible says that all of these things spake Jesus unto the multitude in parables. And the Bible goes on to say that without a parable spake he not unto them. In other words, this is the tool, this is the way that Jesus communicated the truth of the kingdom of God. It goes on then to tell us in the very next verse that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in a parable and utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. All right. So what that is telling us is this, that as Jesus taught in these pictures, as Jesus taught in these parables, he was taking and casting down stories, events, and things that we could see and understand, and laying those things alongside the kingdom of God. And by doing that, there was in that a way that it showed us things about God, about God's heart, about God's mind, and about the ways that God works, that without that, those things were hidden things. There were things that we would not have had any other way of learning or knowing except like this. Now we're going to spend a little time this morning in a parable, in a story of Jesus. And I'm going to tell you right up front that this is probably one of the oddest, strangest little stories that Jesus told. It's a little story that we read, and when we're done, it doesn't set very well with us. We struggle understanding it, and we struggle more appreciating it. Let's begin reading here in Matthew chapter 20, verse 1. Jesus tells us, the Word of God says, for the kingdom of heaven It's like unto a man that is a householder who went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into the vineyard. And when he went out about the third hour, and he saw others standing in the marketplace, he said unto them, Go ye into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right I will give you. And they went their way. And again, he went out about the sixth and the ninth hour, and did likewise. And about the 11th hour he went out, and he found others standing idle, and he says unto them, Why do you stand here all day idle? Well, they say unto him, Because no man hath hired us. He said unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall ye receive. And when even was come, the Lord of that vineyard said unto his steward, Call the laborers, and give them their hire, beginning from the last unto the first. And when they came, they that were hired the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. But when the first came, they supposed that they should receive more, and likewise received every man a penny. And when they had received it, they murmured against the goodman of the house, saying, These last have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us, which hath borne the burden and the heat of the day. But he answered one of them, and he said, Friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst thou not agree with me for a penny? Take what is thine. Go thy way. I will give unto this last, even as unto thee. Is it not lawful for me to do that I will with my own? Is thine eye evil because I am good? So the last shall be first, and the first last. For many be called, but few chosen. Now, I told you, that's an odd little story, isn't it? And we read a story like that, a story of Jesus. And there's something in that story that kind of, our spirit kind of rebels against. There's something in that story that just doesn't seem fair and just doesn't seem right and just doesn't somehow satisfy our sense of justice and rightness. I mean, if we're honest. I mean, most of us, we know Jesus is telling this, but, you know, I mean, in our heart of hearts, most of us would say that's true. Well, when we come up against a portion of Scripture, this is often something that can be a help to us. When we come up against a portion of Scripture that we just don't quite understand, or something there that we're not just sure, one of the most important elements that we can use to study and to understand the Word of God is it is always very helpful for us to understand the Word of God in its context. That is absolutely primary and important, that we understand the Word of God in its context. I remember hearing a preacher say years and years ago, he said this, that a text without a context is a pretext. That was pretty good. In other words, you can take about any text and turn it and twist it and make it say what you want it to say. If you really want to know, you want to have a grip on what it is, you know, where this thing is coming from, it's always important to study that portion of Scripture in its context. Now, one of the ways, let's move all the way to verse 1 here. The very first words here in verse 1 begins, the story begins like this. For the kingdom of heaven is like. Okay. Now that tells us there that this story is attached to whatever happened before. That there was something, there's a reason that we are here. There's something that has happened before that. And so Jesus begins this, for or because. It's like this. For the kingdom of heaven is like. So this ties to something before. So we know now in my Bible, I have to turn back a page here. Okay? So let's turn back a page if you need to. We'll be in chapter 19. For the kingdom of heaven is like. So this story is attached to whatever just happened previously. Now, if you look in your Bibles, and probably most of you have got these. Have you ever noticed in your Bible, you have these little funny looking, they're like a backward looking P. Have you ever seen that? Okay? Do you know what that little funny looking backward P is? That little backward looking P would be like a paragraph break. That's what that actually means in the text. As you're looking through, as you're reading your Bible, and you come to one of those little funny P's, that's like a paragraph is what that is. It's a little change of thought. Now, it's not necessarily an entire change, but it's like a paragraph break. That's what that means. So we know then that this story was attached to, or it was a result of what had just happened before. So we can take and we can go through that paragraph and find out if that's the beginning of this story. So working backwards, where is the first of those little paragraph breaks there? Where's it at? Ah, good. Verse 27. Okay. So, is this the beginning of this? Is this the beginning of the context of this little odd story that Jesus just told? Well, let's read. Then answered Peter. Well, no. Probably not, is it? Okay, so this is a continuation. So let's go on. Where's the next one at? 23. Okay. So is this the beginning? Is this the beginning of this context? Then said Jesus. Well, no, probably not. Okay, so let's continue to work our way backward here, and let's find where's the next one. Where is it?
16.
Verse 16. Okay. And behold, one came. Well, probably. That sounds pretty promising. The verse right before that says, and he laid hands on them and departed thence. Okay, so we know that this is the break. This is the break of the context of this story that Jesus just told. We know there's been a change of scene. We know that Jesus has been someplace, he left someplace, he's someplace new. And then somebody shows up on the scene, and this is the beginning of this context, of this little story that Jesus just told. And this is the story that we all know so well, the story of the rich young ruler. Now, this must have been an impressive event in the life of the disciples. This is one of those stories that we find in all the Gospels. And this must have been an impressive event in the life of the disciples. And so we're going to actually pick this story up here in verse 16. The Bible says, and behold, one came and said unto him, said unto Jesus, good master, what good thing should I do that I might have eternal life? Now it is important for us to note a couple of things here as we begin to look at this story. This boy, as he came, he had the right question in life. He had a good question and a right question in life. But let me ask you this, and I want you to think about this, and I want you to just kind of answer this honestly. Is it possible to have the right questions with the wrong motives? Is that possible? Is it possible to know the right things to say, but not have the right heart behind the things that you say? Is that possible? Absolutely. So one of the things that we need to look at here in relation to this young man, both where he is and where he will turn out, is what was going on internally. Now, just because he had the right question doesn't really mean a lot. You know, he had not only the right question, he had the most important question in life. What's it going to take for me to go to heaven? What's it going to take for me to have eternal life? Now, I don't think there is any question here that this young man was sincere. We know if you read this story in the Gospel of Mark, the Bible says there that as Jesus looked at this young man, he loved him. You know, there was no pretense in this young man's heart. There was no put on and pretend. He wasn't trying to impress anybody. He wasn't trying to impress Jesus with how spiritual he was. He wasn't trying to impress Jesus and all these people standing around there with, you know, how smart he was and how spiritual he was. And I got the right question for you. This is one Jesus is going to really like. You see, the Bible tells us that as Jesus looked at this young man, he saw within him something that he loved. There was a sincerity in the heart of this young man when he came to Jesus and he said, Jesus, look, what is it going to really take for me to have my things right with God and know that when I die, I'm going to heaven? Well, Jesus says to him first, why do you call me good? You know, there's nobody good but God. Well, we're not going to spend a lot of time on this. But you know, Jesus is keeping his lines clear. He's saying, if you're asking the question, you realize who you're asking here. you're right, I'm good, but there's only one that qualifies. And I'm the man. And so that's why he goes right on and answers. He says, but and if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandment. Now, keep the commandments. Now, let me ask you what. If you have somebody come to your home, come to your door, knock on your door and say, look, man, I want to know, what do I need to do to go to heaven? I want to go to heaven. What is it I need to do? Harry, what are you going to say to that person? What are you going to tell them? Well, let's see. Then what do you need to do? You need to keep the commandments. Is that how you're going to answer them? Is that what you're going to say? What do you suppose is in Jesus' mind when he tells this boy what you need to do? You want to go to heaven? Keep the commandments, man. That's what you need to do. So how does this boy respond? He says, keep the commandments. Which ones? So Jesus gives him a list. Well, you don't go about killing people. You're not doing nasty things, committing adultery. You're not stealing stuff. You're not lying. You're honoring your mama and you're honoring your daddy. And you treat other people just like you want to be treated. And you follow this boy's response. He said, look, that's the stuff I've been doing. I've been doing that stuff all my life. I've been a good boy. I ain't been killing people. I ain't been running around. I ain't been lying. I ain't been stealing. I've been doing what mom and daddy told me is right and doing it. And I've been doing it. What lack I yet? Now, I think it is really significant, the commandments that Christ chose. You know, he chose all the outward commandments. The ones that people see. And that young boy could say, you know, everything that everybody sees, I do right. Everything in my life that people can put the eye on, everything that people see in my life that they can look at, it looks good. I've been playing that game all my life, Jesus. I've been following the rules all my life, Jesus. And there's not anybody that's got the eye on me that can say he's falling down on the job. Do you know what a person who is living in legalism is? A person in legalism is not the person that goes through life with a face full of whiskers and suspenders holding their pants up. That is not what a legalist is. A legalist, a person who is living in legalism, is a person who has taken and reduced the law of God to a comfortable and a capable standard. That's a person that is living in legalism. They take the very heart and the law of God and they reduce it, they boil it down in their life till it's comfortable and it's capable. And you see, this boy had been doing that all of his life. That he looks Jesus in the eye and says, you know, that's been my thing. And there's still something missing. There's still something lacking, he says. I still got this hole inside here that's not being filled. What lack I yet? Verse 21. Jesus says, good. Now we're getting someplace. Now we're getting someplace. You're right. You know, you've been doing this and you've been doing that and you've been doing this and you've been doing that. And everybody that's got the eye on you, they can't pin this on you and they can't pin that on you. You know, you're not falling down on the job. But you're right. You're lacking something yet. This is what you're lacking. Now you notice, verse 21. And Jesus said unto him, if you will be perfect. Now that's an interesting little word. You know, in English we use that word perfect. And that means, if you're perfect, that means you ain't got no mistakes. That means that everything is just flawless. That's not what this word here actually means. The Greek word here that is translated into our English word perfect. The Greek word there is teleos is the word. And that word doesn't mean something that's perfect, like it don't have any mistakes. Perfect, like it's just absolutely without error. You know, that word actually means, teleos means to follow through. That's what it means. You could just as easily translate that just like that. And then Jesus said unto him, if you want to follow through. See, that's the question. It's not, do you have the right question? Do you have the right hunger? Do you have the right vision? Do you have the right goal? But are you willing to follow through? Are you going to follow through? Jesus says, if you want to follow through, this is what it's going to take. You go and you sell what you have and you give it to the poor. And you're going to have treasures in heaven, and then you come and you follow me. If you want to follow through. Now I'm going to tell you what. If you've walked with God very long, you've discovered something. And it's this. That God will ask stuff of you sometimes that's hard. God will ask things of you. He'll put demands on your life, expectations on your life. That's tough. But you know something else? Jesus never asked anything of you, anything of me. He never asked anything of any of us that He hasn't already done. What does the Bible say in 2 Corinthians 8? For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes became He poor, that ye through His poverty might be made rich. See, He's telling this boy, you're right, you've been going through the motions, you've been keeping the rules, you've been this and you've been that, and you're right, your insides are empty. But you know, if you want what you say you want, and you want to follow through, this is what it's going to take to follow through. And the thing that He lays on this boy is not anything that Jesus hasn't done Himself. And I'm going to tell you, friend, God will ask things if He puts a claim on your life and you turn it over. He's going to ask things of you that are going to be hard things sometimes. But He will never ask anything of you that He hadn't already done. He's never going to hold you to a standard that He don't keep. He's never going to put an expectation on your life that He hasn't met. See, He's not asking anything of this boy that He hadn't done Himself. That's the kind of Jesus we serve. That's the kind of Jesus we serve. And you know, at that point, this boy loses all his motivation. And it says, when the young man heard this, he went away sorrowful because he had great possessions. Do you know what this boy's problem was in life? It was this. Do you know what kept this boy from God? It was this. He just had too much to offer. He just had too much to offer. And Jesus said to His disciples, verily I say unto you that a rich man shall hardly enter the kingdom of heaven. Again I say unto you, it is easy for a camel to go through the eye of a needle and a rich man to go to heaven. But you know, this boy's problem was not his bank account. This boy's problem was not his stuff. This boy's problem was not his clothes. This boy's problem. You know what this boy's problem was? He just had too much to offer. That was all. And he went away sorrowful. And you know, chances are very, very good. Wherever this young man is right now, this moment in eternity, he's sorrier now than he was then. You know, he just had too much to offer.
And the disciples, they heard this and they were like exceeding amazed. They said, well, if this is the case, if a guy like this that has so much to offer, if he can't go to heaven, who can?
You know, Jesus said, well, with men it's impossible, but with God all things are possible. You know, God works on a different system. God works on a different accounting. God's ways are just, they're just different. And Peter said, he said, look, Jesus, you know, we have forsaken everything and we have followed you. What am I going to get out of this? Now, is that true? Yes, it's true. You know, you study in the beginning of the book of Matthew and the other Gospels as well. You see Jesus there and he says, hey, Peter, I'm going to make you a fisher of men. You just come and follow me. And you know, Peter didn't have much to offer. He just wasn't a fellow that had much to offer. But what he had was his. But the Bible says that he left his stuff. He left his nets. He left his family. He put it on the bank and he said, I'm done, man. I'm going with Jesus. And Jesus said, verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration. And the word there, plenasia, means literally the new birth is what it actually means. In the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit upon the throne of His glory and sit upon the 12 thrones judging the tribes of Israel, everyone that hath forsaken houses or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my name's sake shall receive a hundredfold and shall inherit eternal life. But many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. You see, that's our little bracket around this story. And you know, here you go. We focus on the cost. God starts putting His finger on my life. God starts putting His finger on an area in my life. God starts asking stuff out of me. And I say, oh God, how can this be? What's this going to cost? What's this going to cost me? How can this be? Yes, I want to go to heaven. Yes, I want to be a Christian. Yes, I want to serve you faithfully. But what's this going to cost me, God? But Jesus doesn't focus on the cost. He focuses on the worth. He doesn't say, what's this going to cost? He said, what is this really worth? And so in the midst of this experience where you have this rich young man who comes and has it all. I mean, he's just one of them guys. You know those kind of people, don't you? We just hate them. They just got everything. We just can't stand them. You know, they got everything. They're popular. They're nice. They're athletic. They got money. They got talents. They just got everything. Oh, we just hate those kind of people. But you know, it was because this boy had too much to offer. He couldn't make it. And he goes away sad. And these guys are just... And so Jesus says, you know something? It's like this. You see, the kingdom of heaven is like this. This is how this works. The kingdom of heaven works like this. The kingdom of heaven works like... It works like a fellow who's got a farm. And he needs some people to come and work on his farm. This is how the kingdom of heaven actually works, okay? So we got this man and he's got this farm and he needs people to come work on his farm. And so he goes downtown. Now, how many of you have ever been to a third world country where their laborers will go out and stand on the corner in the morning to get work? Have you ever seen a place like that? Central America, Mexico, Haiti, maybe a place like that. You know, a lot of places in the world where when men need work for the day, they don't have just a job every day. But there's different places where they can go downtown, the corner, they hang out on the corner. And everybody knows if you need somebody to work that day, you go down there on that corner and there's going to be people down there waiting to go to work.
And so this man, this is how the kingdom of heaven is. It's like this. It's like this farmer who's got this farm and he needs some people to work.
And so he goes downtown early in the morning, down on the corner, where all these guys are hanging out, looking for work, looking for something to do. And he pulls up on the corner and he says, "Hey, man, I'm looking for somebody to go to work for me today." Now, who do you suppose is in this first group? We know who those guys are. The Bible says that they had agreed. Now, that word agreed there is an interesting little Greek word. It talks about haggling for profit. That's what it means. Haggling for profit. You know who that first group is. We all know who that first group is. They're the big ones, the strapping ones. The ones that take and they push themselves to the front. And they work their way out to the front. And they push you down and they step on you and they get out there and they're the ones out in front. And the man pulls up and he says, "Hey, I need somebody to work in my field today. What do you pay? How much are you going to pay? I'm going to go to work. How much are you going to pay me?" The Bible says they agreed. "Well, I pay a half a penny." Half a penny? Are you? This sounds like Arkansas wages. A half a penny? Are you kidding me? I ain't going to work for no more than a penny and a half, or forget it. A penny and a half. Well, I can't pay that. How about three-quarter penny? Three-quarter penny? Are you kidding? My wife wouldn't work for you for three-quarter penny. I ain't going to work for no three-quarter penny. Penny and a quarter, best I can do. Okay, how about a penny? A penny? "I don't see nobody else coming. I ain't got nothing else to do today. If that's the best you can do, I guess I'll work for a penny today." And they go out into the field, the Bible says. He sent them into his vineyard. But you notice then, the man comes back, Jesus says. "And he went out about the third hour, and he saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And he says unto them, 'Go ye also into my vineyard.'" I want you to notice this phrase. This is the phrase that is important. "And whatsoever is right, I will give you." I will do you right. You go, you work for me, and I will do you right. And they went their way. And the Bible says then that he came again about the sixth hour. Now what time? This is about noon, right? See, that first shift is about 6 o'clock in the morning. The next time he comes at 9. The next time he comes at 12. And the Bible says as well at the 9th, which would be about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And he does likewise. In other words, he comes back time and time again. Time and time again. And he meets those men and he tells them, "Look, I need people willing to go to work for me. You go. Go into my vineyard and I will do you right." And finally, the Bible says, about the 11th hour. Now what time of the day is this? It's 5 o'clock. Day's about done. He comes back one more time. Now, who do you suppose is standing there at 5 o'clock yet? We know who those people are. They're the leftovers. The leftovers. You know? The ones that ain't quite got it. The ones that can't quite make it. The ones that don't quite have it. They're the leftovers standing there at 5. And he comes back and he says, "Why are y'all still standing out here idle all day?" Notice their response. "I'm standing here because they don't nobody want me. Nobody have me. Nobody's got any use for me." Well, I tell you what, you go into my vineyard and I will do you right. I will do you right. And so evening comes. And the Lord of that farm, he calls in the hands. He said, I want you to bring the men in and I want you to pay the last ones first. And we'll pay the first ones last. And when the last ones, those 5 o'clock people come in, you know, they're expecting this man to do like everybody else has done them all of their life. And they come up to the pay window. And here the man gives them a full day's wage. For me. There must be a mistake here. I was just here for an hour. No. That's what the boss says. He pays. When the first came, verse 9, and when they came that were hired the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. But when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more, but they received a penny. And when they received it, they murmured against the goodman. Don't you bet. You said, they murmured saying, now look, these last, they've only wrought an hour. And you have made them equal unto us who have borne the burden in the heat of the day. And you know what that word equal there? Isos is the word. And equal, it's not talking about length of labor. It's not talking about sweat. You know what that word isos actually talks about? It talks about quality. That's actually what that word specifically speaks of. Quality. You see, they're looking at the man and they're saying, you're saying this guy here is equal to me? That was the heart of their complaint. This is equal to me. I've often wondered, Jesus doesn't tell us. I've often wondered how it was that night when these guys went home. I appreciated a lot the comment this morning, you know, that these are people in the Bible. These are people. And they got lives just like we got. These guys went home. How do you suppose it was? Those 11th hour people, when they come hobbling into the house and the wife meets them there with a bare cupboard and says, honey, how was your day today? Did you get any work today? You know, we hadn't had much and things have been hard. I prayed for you all day. How was your day today, honey? Baby, you ain't going to believe this. I got downtown. I stood on the corner. I was the first one there this morning. Then all these other guys, they start piling in there and pushing me around and but I thought, no, I'm going to work today. Whatever it takes, I'm going to work. First thing this morning, this guy comes rolling down the street, brand new chariot. He looked fine. And he got up there close. I could see his face. He had the sweetest eyes I ever seen. He just looked so nice. And I thought, I want to work for this guy. And he pulls up there and he says, hey man, I'm looking for somebody to work today. And I thought, this is my chance. And I start up to the front. I had my hand up big. But this big old burly guy, man, he just pushed me in the dirt. Stepped right on me and just kept right on going. And by the time I crawled up off the ground and got myself dusted off, they were loaded and gone. But you're not going to believe this. This man come back again and again. And again. But I could never catch his eye. I could never get to the front. You know, it didn't matter how hard I tried. I could never get to the front. Everybody was always pushing ahead of me, leaving me in the dirt. But I decided, honey, no. I'm going to stay. I'm going to stand here all day. And 5 o'clock that night, here this man comes rolling back down the street again. He pulls right up in front of me. He looks at me. He says, "What are you doing standing here all day not doing nothing?" I told him, "I'm here because they don't nobody want me." Well, he looked at me. He said, "I want you. Come on. You come with me. And I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to do you right." So I loaded up and I went with this man. I was just there an hour. Baby, I was just there an hour, but I'm going to tell you what. I worked. Man, I was there for my hour and I worked. I worked as hard as I ever worked for an hour and I got done. And I walked up to the pay window, and you're not going to believe this. This man paid me for the whole day. I think I love that man. But you know, they weren't the only ones who went home that night. What do you suppose those first hours? What do you suppose those first hours? What kind of an evening do you suppose they had at home that night? They come stomping in the house and slamming the door. No, I was like, "What happened, honey? Did you not get no work today?" "Yes, I got work. I worked all day long." "You did? Did you make any money?" "Yeah, the man paid me a penny." "A penny? Really? Well, you normally only make half a penny a day. That's great." "You're not going to believe. If you did so good, honey, how come you got such a bad attitude?" "Well, I ought to have a bad attitude. You're not going to believe what this guy did to me. He met me downtown. I met him downtown this morning, and we haggled over that, and we got a penny because I'm pretty sharp, right? I'm a businessman. And so I got a penny out of this guy, and I went out in the field, and I worked all day for this man, and the day was over, and when the day was done, you know what this guy did to me?" "Well, he paid you, didn't he?" "Of course he paid me." "Well, what'd he pay you?" "He paid me a penny." "Well, what's the problem?" "Well, oh, you women, man, you don't understand nothing anyway, do you?" "You just don't understand nothing." He answered one of them and he said, "Friend, I do thee no wrong. Didn't you agree with me for a penny? You take what's yours. You go your way. I'll give to this last just like I gave to you. Or is your eye evil because I'm good?" You see, this is how the kingdom of heaven is. I don't know about you, but I'm thankful we serve a God like this. You know, the thing that hinders us from the kingdom of God more than anything else is just having too much to offer. You know, in this little story, who was it that really was a success? It was the people who could go because the master just said, "Trust me, I'll do you right." You know, the people who spent their life, their energy, their ambition, always haggling with God, always wanting the best deal with God, always expecting this and expecting that, they're the people in this story that came out at the bottom. It is the person who said, "I ain't got much. I ain't got nothing to offer you, God. I'm standing on the street corner. People keep stepping on me. People kept pushing me back. And you know, I don't have the resources in life. I didn't have the family life that I should have had that would have helped me. I don't have the social skills that would have helped me. I don't have the talents, the abilities that would have helped me. I just ain't got all that stuff. But you know, what I got is yours. And I'm willing to let you just use it and do with it. And I trust you. You're going to do me right." And you know what? Those are the people that came out on top. You see, that's why this story is taught right on the tail end of the rich young ruler. Because that young man missed it all. And he missed it not because he didn't have right desires. Not because he didn't have right questions. Not because he wasn't sincere. But because he had too much to offer. Well, heaven's going to look kind of funny to our eyes, I think. I want to encourage you. You know, in your work in the kingdom of God, Matthew, Matthew chapter 10. This is for every one of you here. You know, God is not interested in our abilities. He's not interested in our stuff. He's not. You know, what God is looking for are people that are willing to go and work because they trust Him. Jesus says, "He that receives you receives me, and he that receives me receives him that sent me. He that receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward, and he that receives a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward, and whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of water, cold water only, in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, shall in no wise lose his reward." And you know what, Mama? The work that you're doing is kingdom work. If you're doing it for Jesus, as you raise your children, as you love your husband. You know what, brother? As you go through your job every day and you raise your children for Christ and you love your wife and you bless her, and you know, that's kingdom work. God's not shaking this thing out in heaven like, you know, the bishop's over here and the deacon's out there and mama's down here and daddy's over there. That's not how it is. You know, there are going to be a lot of people in heaven whose reward will be greater because they were the potty scrubber for Jesus than the bishop. Because what God is looking for is a faithful heart that goes to work and trusts Him. You see, Jesus says, that's how the kingdom of heaven is. It's like this. And I'm thankful this morning that's the kind of Lord that we serve. May God help us to go and to work and to trust. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Lord, we just come to you this morning, Father, in the name of Jesus. And we do love you. You are so good. Thank you, Father, that you take us with all of our weaknesses and all of our needs and all of our frailties, Lord. And that you are trustworthy. And that you are good. Help us, Father, those things that hinder us, that hold us back from going all the way with you, Lord. Help us turn loose of those things and follow you, Lord, all the way to work for you, trustingly, knowing you will do right. I pray, Lord, you bless each dear one here, Lord, with grace and help and strength and courage to be what we should for you. We love you, Father. We thank you for all your mercies and gifts. We thank you for Jesus most of all. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, each one. Brother.